Welcome to the Realistic Healthy Living Podcast, where I share with you information that may help and support you as you work towards your own goals. This podcast can help you find a more realistic and practical approach to tackling common dietary challenges. I will be sharing some intimate interviews as well as my own insights to shed light on important nutritional and well-being topics. I'm Shelly, your host and a certified nutrition consultant. I work with people seeking to look and feel better, providing them with realistic, safe, and doable solutions so they can reach their nutritional goals without giving up their favorite foods. Ready? So let's begin. It has come to my attention way too many times that people are not really sure what are the vegetarian and vegan diets. What is the difference between them? And what do people actually eat when they follow these diets? In this episode of Realistic Healthy Living, I will clarify this subject in a simple, straightforward way, and I will provide you with five important things to know about these diets. This past weekend, I participated in an all-day event that served lunch. Always something that makes me very happy because it means one less meal for me to cook. Yep, these things make me excited. Anyhow, they had a cute little display of some vegetable trays and some snacks and a nice variety of sandwiches. They had the usual ones with cold cuts and cheese, and they had also some with egg salad and some with tuna salad. The lady in charge said that they also brought a vegetarian sandwich as an additional option. And I thought that was very thoughtful. Being a vegetarian, I'm always happy when there's a nice variety and I can choose a vegetarian option that works for me. So I asked her what was in that special sandwich, and she said she wasn't sure and started opening the sandwich wrap. And then we realized that the sandwich contained slices of tomatoes, slices of cucumbers, and a little bit of lettuce. There was no mayo, no protein of any sort, no avocado, just bread and vegetables. So I thought to myself, that's more of a vegan sandwich, so I will leave that to someone who is vegan. I chose the egg salad sandwich because I'm a vegetarian that eats eggs. This whole thing that was happening left the lady puzzled. She was looking at me quite confused, did not understand, if I'm a vegetarian, why do I leave the sandwich with the veggies to others and I'm taking the egg salad? This whole scenario and dozens of similar ones I have experienced made me think it is time to make an episode about the difference between a vegetarian and a vegan diet and what do we need to know about them. So here we go. The vegetarian diet is an umbrella name for a diet that excludes meat and puts a greater emphasis on plant-based foods. Although the name implies that vegetarianism relies heavily on vegetables, many take their vegetarian diets in different directions, depending on their personal preferences. Many vegetarians, in addition to eliminating meat from their food intake, may or may not eliminate other food groups, such as dairy and eggs and fish. However, there are also plenty of vegetarians who consume dairy and eggs and even fish. For example, I am a vegetarian who consumes dairy and eggs. On rare occasions, I have some fish, but that doesn't happen very often. A friend of mine is a vegetarian who excludes meat, fish, and dairy from his food intake, but frequently has eggs. So overall, generally speaking, the vegetarian diet mostly emphasizes refraining from eating animal meat, which normally includes red meat, pork, game, chicken, and turkey. When it comes to dairy, eggs, and fish, the choice of whether to consume them or not depends on the individual. Now let's move into the vegan diet. I feel like I need a little of a drum roll because these guys take the vegetarian diet to the extreme. Veganism is often considered more of a lifestyle instead of a diet, since many vegans also refrain from consuming other products such as honey or using leather products, and most do not use wool products either. Many of them do so not only for dietary reasons, but also ethical and environmental reasons. So it would be mostly true to say that veganism goes beyond food and flows into other choices vegans make regularly. Many people think that vegans normally tend to lack some nutrients and miss out on many things, but that usually tends to be a preconception. So now that we've clarified the technical differences between being a vegetarian and a vegan, you may ask what details are important to know about each diet and what are some of the benefits. You may be considering becoming a vegetarian or a vegan. Maybe you have a family member or a friend who's showing interest and you would like to support them. Or maybe you're just curious and you want to know more. Before I begin, I would like to emphasize two things. One, I have no intention of convincing anyone to become a vegetarian or a vegan. That's just not my style. As always, I am providing general and researched information. The choice of what to do with it is entirely yours. Should you decide to make any changes to your diet, please consult with your doctor first. Number two, I'm not here to imply in any way that the omnivore diet is unhealthy. Whether someone should become a vegetarian or a vegan is entirely a personal choice. There are some cases where health professionals would recommend to their patients to temporarily eliminate animal sources from their diet in order to maybe heal a certain disease or symptoms. But this has to be done properly with clinical supervision. Other people who want to try a vegetarian or vegan diet approach that in different ways. Some people find it easier to transition into a vegetarian diet by eliminating one food group, for example, red meat, and only then gradually eliminate all meats, including poultry. Some people go cold turkey, pun intended, and move from an omnivore diet straight to vegan overnight. It's totally a personal choice, and every person would be wise to make the transition in a way that works best for themselves. There's no right or wrong. Your guiding light should be what is right for you and what is healthy. Here is where I would start. First, I would ask myself, why do I want to change my diet? Is it for health purposes? Is it for weight management? Is it ethical and environmental reasons? It is important to know the answers to this before getting into these diets, as it could be your guiding hand when things get a bit challenging. Next, I would ask whether you're going to become a vegetarian or a vegan. If you choose to be a vegetarian, do you intend to consume dairy, eggs, and/or fish? Another question would be whether you plan on doing that overnight or with transitional steps. It would also be wise to ask if you would be supported with your choice. For example, if you are a 20-year-old person living at home and the entire family follows an omnivore diet, would you have access to vegetarian or vegan choices while the rest are having meat? Depending on your choice of diet, the transition will most likely be impacted. For example, let's assume you're planning to become a vegetarian who eliminates meat but still consumes dairy and eggs. Your access to protein may be faster and more convenient than someone who intends to eliminate all these components. However, if you move into a vegan diet right away, you most likely would need to do some research and planning. You see, depending on where you live, the accessibility and options available to you may vary. So that may impact whether you will be able to do takeouts, for example, or go out for restaurants, which may affect your social life, or would you need to prepare everything at home from scratch and you have the means to do so. Then once you have some answers and you feel ready to move to the next step, here is the main message I would like to convey in this episode. And this is also my approach in my practice as a nutrition professional. A healthy approach to diet is not just about what you remove from it, but also what you add to your diet. And I'll explain. It is crucial to provide a proper replacement for something you decide not to consume anymore. Meaning, if you plan to eliminate meat from your total food intake, I would encourage you to ask yourself, what do you intend to replace it with? And here is why. Meat, dairy, and eggs are a powerhouse when it comes to providing protein to our body. Protein is one of the three macronutrients, alongside carbohydrates and fats, that are crucial to our body's needs and health. So when we decide to go vegetarian or vegan, and therefore remove a large protein source from our diet, we need to ask ourselves, where would we bring protein from now that we don't get it from meat? Fortunately, there are lots of options, and it's easier than you may think. It may require a little bit of different kind of effort, but with some practice, it gets quite easy. I would like to make a note about vegan options. There are countries or provinces where veganism is still quite a dormant lifestyle, and people who want to follow a vegan diet may find it a little bit more challenging to do so. But on the other hand, there are places in the world where the communities of vegans are massive and the alternative are readily available. I live in Alberta, Canada. Alberta is highly known for its cattle and therefore its superb beef. For decades, meat and potatoes were the prototype of dinner at most houses. But things have shifted over the years, and many homes now include other sources of protein in their dinners. Also, almost every single restaurant offers a vegetarian option here in Alberta, and even vegan, which is something that was not popular only a few years ago. So if I go back to this experience I had with the lunch serves at the event I was telling you in the beginning of this episode, if I was vegan, my sandwich of vegetables would have been a bit sad and boring and probably not very satisfying. Now, I'm not generalizing, but maybe if the event was taking place in Vancouver Island, just as an example, my sandwich would most likely have had a slice of tofu in it for a more satisfying version. I'm not throwing Alberta under the bus, but my goal is to show that different places around the world have different varieties offered to people who follow vegan or vegetarian diets. All right, so let's talk about the five important points I wanted to share with you that I think are important to know about both vegetarian and vegan diets. First, I would like to address the weight management part, because I have so many clients that want me to help them transition to become vegetarian or vegans, thinking it will help them lose weight. Unfortunately, that is not a direct result of these diets. Weight loss happens when you consume less calories than you expend. Although vegetarian and vegan diets encourage us to consume more fruits and vegetables, and potentially that would contribute in a way to weight management, it is possible to consume more calories than we expend and create weight gain by following a vegetarian or vegan diet. Keep in mind, for example, that one of the most common food items vegans consume are nuts and seeds, and these are very calorie dense and can easily help us be way over our normal caloric intake. So if your intention is to lose weight, Yes, consuming more vegetables and fruits is a good idea, regardless of the diet choice, providing us dozens of health benefits, but it is not necessarily the approach to weight loss. Number two, one may think that one of the biggest health benefits of choosing a vegetarian and particularly a vegan diet is the reduction in the intake of saturated fats. Let's understand a little bit about these fats. Saturated fats come mainly from animal sources such as meat and cheese, whole milk and eggs. However, coconut and palm oils are saturated fats too. Saturated fats are hard at room temperature. Think about the fat left in the pan after cooking bacon, which becomes hardened in room temperature. For years and years, we all thought that saturated fats drive the bad cholesterol up, which then may lead to some cardiovascular diseases. A meta-analysis has shown that we're actually lacking significant evidence of the connection between the two. So what should we do then? Most of us will benefit from some saturated fats in our diet, and the source would depend, of course, on the type of diet you wish to follow. But the main point is some. A limited amount is most likely a good way to go. Having said that, the fat that we do need to refrain from is trans fat. And this is where vegans and vegetarians may trip a little, because I would like to remind everyone that French fries are considered vegan, meaning it is possible to follow a vegetarian or a vegan diet that is not as healthy as we may think. Number three, here we're going to talk about one of the biggest benefits of following a vegetarian or a vegan diet. And I'm specifically talking about a health benefit. Naturally, in order to consume enough foods, if done properly, a vegetarian and vegan diet will increase our intake of fiber. We cannot get fiber from animal foods, only plants, which means if we increase the amount of fruits and veggies, beans, lentils, nuts, and seeds, one of the side effect, and I'm air quoting here, it's a good side effect to have, of such choices will be an increased amount of fiber intake, which contributes immensely to our health. Now, I would like to focus on that too, as many people move too quickly from a diet low in fiber to a high fiber diet, and more often than not, it can create such discomfort that we may conclude that this diet is not for us. We want to get a positive experience on our transition. Therefore, increasing our fiber intake would be best done gradually, which would allow our gut flora to adjust to the new levels of fiber. Because too much fiber for what our body is used to may cause a lot of stomach discomfort and gas, which can affect our will to continue with such way of eating. When done right, it can be a lovely experience. Number four, another factor to consider is where we are at in our life cycle. Young children, pregnant women, competitive athletes, and the elderly who decide to follow a vegetarian or vegan diet should monitor their health. One way is to work with a health professional. Another is to get blood work done regularly to ensure there are no deficiencies. And of course, you can do both. Overall, if done properly and meals are being planned to ensure all needs are met, in most cases, there should be no deficiencies. Because we're all different, each individual should look into their choices, evaluate their actions, and decide on the path that they want to follow. It is possible to follow a vegetarian or vegan diets and make less healthy choices that will negatively impact our health. Having said that, it is also possible to follow a vegetarian or vegan diet and experience an immense improvement in health. If you are planning to transition into one of these diets, please consult with a health professional. And number five, last but not least, the ethical and environmental aspects of choosing a vegetarian or vegan diet. I feel that there are many controversies about such impact of vegetarian and vegan diets and whether they contribute or take away from our planet. I personally think that we humans tend to justify our actions, searching for the right arguments to support our choices, while a person who disagrees with us will manage to find arguments against that. That's fine. It's very natural. It keeps our society diverse and interesting. Having said that, there are many things to consider when the environment and ethical choices are brought into diet consideration. I would highly encourage you to do your due diligence and find what moves you. Ask yourself, what do you care about when it comes to the environment and ethical farming of plants and animals? And any other question that may raise your interest and support. We're all different, and what moves us is different too. If you feel that a vegan diet is the best thing you can do for your health and the health of our planet, go for it. If you think a vegetarian diet is the best thing for you, that would be the way for you to go. Just to show you an example, one person can follow an omnivore diet, but he grows his own few chickens and cows, treats them like kings, grows his own vegetables, recycles, composts, travels everywhere on his bicycles, makes all his cleaning products from natural ingredients, and does not own a car. Another person can be vegan, fly around the world 10 times a year, never buys local, smokes cigarettes, eats mostly fried vegan foods, and does not follow an active lifestyle. These two extremities show that the title of choice can be deceiving at times. What matters, at least in my opinion, is being good to yourself, to your community, and to the environment in the best way that you can. And that may mean different things to different people. We all can do what we can do. What works for one person may not necessarily work for another for a variety of reasons. Some are in our control and some are not. My only hope is that our overall intent and action is to be a better version of ourselves and leave a planet to the next generation in a better state than what we have received it in.
I hope this episode provided you with some value. If so, your support will really help me. Here are two simple ways to do so. The ideal and easiest way would be to click the follow sign. And if you're willing, please share my podcast with anyone you think could benefit from it. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you in the next episode.